Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom driving the show, because there'd be no show if Tom wasn't on the other side of the glass. So pretty important. And of course, as we mentioned yesterday, we are dependent on Tom and, do I say artificial intelligence? No. Well, the computer.
You remember back in the day when they had race cars where the mechanic rode along with the driver? So you would be the driver and I would be the mechanic.
Yeah, you're talking about like...
back in the 30s, I'm probably.
30s, and then some of those road races.
Yeah, I mean,
with Ferrari.
Apparently the cars were not very dependable. You had to bring your mechanic along with you.
Bring the mechanic along to change the flat tire. All right, it is Thursday, April 24th, 2025. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. So many people say to me, Bill, it must be so cool to be out at Green Things every day, out in the fresh air. No, we're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. They have the naming rights, which is great, but we are at the Bustos Media Center. We're glad we are here in central Tucson. Five radio stations under one roof. The latest acquisition, The Drive, doing so very well. One of the highest rated radio stations in Tucson. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We're in our 15th year with the radio program, our 37th for Mr. Buckmaster, yours truly, in Tucson radio and TV. Worldwide live listening on my website, and we're very proud of the fact that we've got pretty much every show. It's becoming of historic content going all the way back to January of 2011. And that's at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And folks are always willing and welcome to call in on the live line, 790-2040, if you have any comments. And we're doing something a little different today because there's so much to unpack with my guests that I've made an executive decision as the quarterback and the time manager for the show. Ted Maxwell gets a full hour on the Buckmaster Show. General, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Glad to be here. I'm glad we've got an hour. Now we just got to fill it.
Yeah, I don't think that will be a problem. Ted has been leading the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO. He began that particular job in 2018. He transitioned into the Leadership Council coming out of his military service, nearly 34 years, including 15 years in active duty Air Force and an additional 19 in the Air National Guard. He retired as a two-star general in 2018. His final military position was here in Tucson, his final duty station, commander, Arizona Air National Guard. In 2021, Doug Ducey, appointed the general to represent Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board, and he is the ADOT representative on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. So just by that introduction, our listeners can see there's all sorts of areas that we want to cover. And I do want to mention, and gladly, that Ted is doing a great job as a really one of Tucson's newest radio personalities. He's the host of The Morning Voice each Tuesday, from 7 to 9. And he also likes to fly. Even though he retired from the Air Force, he still likes to fly and commands his own little plane out of the Marana Airfield. Have they made any changes at the field since the fatal accident there, General?
No, Bill, they actually haven't. I've flown out of there several times in the last couple months. Matter of fact, going to take a trip this weekend up to Payson to visit some friends who have a place in Pine.
What would the flying time be, Tucson, Marana to Payson?
Well, with the new engine and prop we've got on the plane, it's going to be shorter. It's probably going to take me about 35 minutes to get up there, 35 to 40 minutes. No, we can be at Sedona in 45.
You're over the Phoenix Valley then in really 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's about that, depending how fast and how much gas we want to spend doing it. But, you know, Marana has become a very busy and active airport. You know, Mayor Honey, bless him, was a huge advocate. And even when he was calling for getting a tower there, there were some general aviation folks like myself that were going, well, it's not quite there, but, you know, not at least in the name of safety. The challenge is what you have, and there is no official FAA report, accident report yet, so I'm speaking on what I believe is generally what you will find out, anything that leads to an accident is there were mistakes made. Quite often those mistakes fall on those of us who are called pilots, because we ultimately are the ones accountable for the direction of our plane and what we're doing with it and how we react to odd situations. And that was a true tragedy. It was one that we can all sit around and go, oh, well, I see why that happened or how that happened, or it wouldn't have happened if, you know, but the fact of the matter, it was a tragedy that occurred. But as Marana has become busier and busier, particularly with the pilot shortage at the commercial level, the pilot shortage everywhere else, the pilot training business is booming. And that means there's a lot. In a state like Arizona, where we can fly 360 days out of the 365 of the year, aviation is huge. We have a lot of military flying units here in the state of Arizona, and we have a lot of commercial and private training organizations in the state of Arizona
that are trying to fast track individuals into the airline industry.
Absolutely. And that's what you see Marana, because Marana is an uncontrolled tower. If you're the only one in the pattern, you can get landing. You can get a lot of training in a short minute of time. The challenge becomes when it gets really busy, especially with multiple student pilots. That's where it'd probably be nice to have a control tower. You know, personally, I'd rather I'll make it fit, I'll make it work, but I understand the value and the need that the control towers are in play. And Marana's approved for one. The funding's been identified at the federal level. And again, there's a lot going on the federal level, but they should start breaking ground on building a control tower for Marana, which will be a huge benefit to that community. And it brings quite a few well-paying jobs that are funded by the federal government because it falls under the FAA.
Yeah. Now, you were a graduate and are a graduate of the Academy, the Air Force Academy. Was there ever a conversation between you and your inner voice that you would go the direction of put time in the Air Force and then look for a career in commercial aviation?
It's funny, Bill. When I entered the Academy as a young 18-year-old, I had zero desire to fly. And now I can't see my life without flying.
You didn't want to fly necessarily.
Absolutely not.
What was the goal then?
The goal was for the education, the continued opportunity to play sports. And I thought I was going to walk into a university that everybody there was kind of like I was in high school, academically good. I was involved in student government. You know, I played football, basketball, and baseball at the high school level. And, great intramural programs back there. What I found out is actually the Academy, other than the high academic standards, it's pretty much like every other university. There are some people that hated having to participate in intramurals. I loved it. I was one of the reasons I went there. But I didn't want to fly. But the Air Force Academy is there, especially back in the 70s and the 80s, to create pilots.
Yes.
And they do a great job selling you on it. I mean, I think I was a freshman the first time I got to fly in a jet. And by the time I graduated, that's where I wanted to do. Wow. I was off to Phoenix, Arizona to train and become an Air Force pilot. Multiple times throughout my career, I went through the numbers crunching when my either commitment to the Air Force came up or something wasn't going how I thought it should, you know.
Yeah, the column, Air Force, commercial, commercial, Air Force.
And it came down to a decision. I personally never wanted to be a commercial pilot. I've got friends who love it, think it's great. But I always used to walk through airport and goes, I don't see a bunch of commercial pilots laughing and slapping each other on the back and, you know, enjoying their time. They're there to
do
a job.
Some of them look pretty glum, you know.
They do.
They do. They're not really all that happy about what's going on.
And it's real funny. I've been, there has been discussions about, you know, would you ever run for, you know, Congress or anything like that? And I always tell people no, because if I wanted to be a commercial airline pilot and fly back and forth across the country multiple times every month, I would have been.
Yeah.
And I chose not to do that as a career. And I truly have to give so much credit to our members of Congress who fly back every weekend so that they can be with their constituents, so they can see their families. It's, that's not an easy way of life. I don't know how many of them do it.
Do they fly economy?
So the answer to that question is yes.
Yeah.
Most of them fly in the back. I would assume that they've got the ability to build up a lot of points.
Yeah.
But I don't think they want the look of walking
onto
the plane.
Well, that's what I wondered about. You know, and you probably easily could sit in the front, but then there's the optics, right?
It's a big optics issue. Wouldn't it look good if your congressman was sitting there in the front with their congresswoman sitting there in the front with a cocktail as you're boarding the flight and heading to the back?
All right. We do have a caller on line one, and we're going to hold off on that because we've got a lot to talk about here with General Maxwell. But right now, I want to talk about one of our great sponsors. This is a new addition to our team. And by the way, all of our partners are at buckmastershow.com, a link to all of them. They all do a great job. This one that we're now, who's joined our team, is PCOA. In general, I know you work with PCOA at Southern Arizona Leadership Council. They do a great job.
Yes, they do.
Support comes from Pima Council on Aging. The Nosh and No series continues with exploring care options and resources Thursday and Friday, May 8th and 9th from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. Don't wait to register. These classes will sell out. Details at noshandno.pcoa.org, PCOA, Aging Well for Life. I'm going to make an executive decision. Rather than go right to the break, I will take the caller, Tom. We'll take the caller because it's kind of on topic for what we were talking about with General Maxwell about general aviation. So the caller hung up, but he left the question, which is fine. So the general can answer it, and then we'll take a break. The caller wanted to know, what about Ryan Field? What's happening over there?
Well, Ryan,
it's a busy general aviation.
It is, and Ryan Field's actually part of the Tucson Airport Authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So not everybody is aware that they actually manage the operations and the flying, and they do have a control tower. They've got two runways, another great place. You have limited instrument approaches that you can go out and practice into Marana, but that's why Ryan gets busy because they've got an instrument landing system or an ILS that they can come in and off that beat, you know, signal coming from the runway. People can practice multiple different kinds of approaches, and the communications are all there because you have to change from approach to tower and back, and so it can get busy as well. Now, they've got two runways, which makes it really easy. They put the general aviation generally on the north or the outside runway, and the approaches are flown to the inside. Mm-hmm. But it is expanding, and it's booming, and it has a double.
It's a controlled field.
It is. It's a controlled field. Double Eagle Aviation's out there. I believe there might be another school. They've got their cafe or their, you know,
I heard
their
it's really good.
Oh, it's outstanding. and general aviation generally likes. People like to get up on Saturday mornings, jump in the plane, and fly somewhere, land, have breakfast, and fly home.
Yeah, it's part of the fun.
It is. And it's a small community that can drive a lot of business for some of the smaller areas. I actually told when we were at standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, we had a state transportation board meeting in Winslow. Mm-hmm. And during the comments, when the mayor spoke, I told her that I had flown my plane up for that meeting. Mm-hmm. I told her you've got a great little airport, but you're not taking advantage of it because it's just an airport.
Yeah.
And a place that you can check in and tell them you're leaving your plane. And I'm going, you need to think of getting a cafe, a restaurant, a diner, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential.
Actually seen that airport, which is very historic, up at Winslow because Charles Lindbergh actually landed there as part of a cross-country route that he was mapping out for maybe TWA, somebody, somewhat one of the big carriers
for being a relatively small. You know, yeah. So there's not any buildings built up on it.
It's actually south of Winslow.
Yep, yeah. And it's got two large runways. Wow. So it's actually thus the reason that a commercial plane can go in and out of there.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on from aviation, but still in the realm of transportation. When we continue with General Ted Maxwell, we've got to talk about the situation with the Regional Transportation Authority, and General knows about what's going on there because he's the ADOT, Arizona Department of Transportation representative on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. Couple of things going on with state transportation on our roadways that we need to know about as well. Be right back with General Ted Maxwell.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Ted Maxwell's Hill. General Maxwell is the representative of the Arizona Transportation Board on the 9-member Pima County PAG, as they call it, Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. The news as we work toward the sunsetting of the 20-year RTA program and directing what's going to be coming up next, i.e. RTA next, it seems right now the issue is the director of RTA and PAG.
Well, Bill, I'd say if anybody watched the meeting on Monday, he saw that became the central focus point. There's a lot that's going on right now at the at PAG and MAG. As we come to an end for RTA 1, there's a lot of things that have to occur. There's closeouts, there's audits, there's a lot of things. And there's challenges, such as we've got 9 some people say 11 unfinished projects that we have to get done. There's money issues. There's, as you're compiling it, everything, if you overspend on some projects, that impacts how much you can overspend on these projects. We've used a lot of PAG money, and I say we collectively, that they made most of those votes before I came on the board to transfer some PAG money to get jobs done. And when municipalities are seeing their projects not getting done, and it's not just the city of Tucson, but the majority are, it's easy to get frustrated, and you try to make some moves. I want to point out that City Manager Tamir and Sam Credio, ADTM lead director.
Tucson City Council, yep. And then this Tucson's transportation director.
They have made recommendations for some modifications to these projects that might help us get them started. They weren't ready to go moving any of those forwards, but I saw that a positive sign towards getting to it. But what ended up happening is there's been some changes to the board leadership, and with changes to leadership comes changes in directions and approaches. Roxy Valenzuela is now the representative from South Tucson, replacing Paul Diaz. Adelaide Grijalva did one meeting as the representative of the Board of Supervisors, but now it's Matt Hines, who's the
Dr.
Hines.
Who will be our guest on Monday, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Good. Mm-hmm. That's why you're a professional. You can slip those plugs in there, Bill. Chairman Hernandez is the new chairman for the Pascayaki tribe.
So there's three.
So there's three and
John Mayor Post
is new from Marana. So four of the nine members have changed.
Yes.
So when Supervisor Hines was selected to be the representative, he sent out, we had this originally Monday was only going to be an RTA meeting, but he sent out a memo to the mayor, who's now Mayor Romero. When I say the mayor, it's Mayor Romero. She's the chair of PAG, calling for an additional a PAG meeting immediately following the RTA meeting to discuss job performance and reviews of the executive director in executive session. A couple things led to Mayor Romero then did put together, and we were supposed to have a PAG meeting. Well, because of some errors with the notification and the announcement, the posting of the meeting, because you have to have certain, 24 hours, there's requirements for any meeting and to include what is included on that announcement. It ended up the PAG meeting was unable to get into executive session, but there were several issues that came up throughout the RTA meeting and that were questioning and highlighting some of the disagreements between the executive director and the city of Tucson on what's required to get these projects started. Why can't they get the projects started? I mean, this has been an ongoing issue. A lot of people have seen those conversations over the last several years. Mayor Romero pointed out as one of her comments, when member Maxwell came on the board, he pointed out, we've got to push this RTA next. We don't want to face the fiscal cliff. Well, what we're doing now is we're facing the fiscal cliff. Mm-hmm. We did make a decision at that RTA meeting to move the target date to March of 2026 for the election. And that's the last target date we can hit.
2 months before the program, 20-year program expires.
Correct. And we could go in May, but if we go in May, we lose the revenues until the following May 1st. We have to go in March to keep the revenues flowing. And I've been very clear, RTA Next is the biggest regional cooperative program we have in this region. Every mayor and all the representatives that have ever been there, Board of Supervisors, will tell you RTA 1 has been beneficial to the region. We need to figure a way across. But what you're seeing in some of these closeouts, some of the audits, you're seeing some of the frustrations with each other. Blake Morlock in his, one of his writings in the Tucson Sentinel, those folks on all the time. He did a good job of summarizing some of the history of where some of this rub. It's just as with everything, the closer you get to finale, the closer you get to where decisions have to be made, that's when disagreements get highlighted even more. And you saw that happen at our board meeting. The direction, and it was by a 6-2 vote, was for the executive director to call another PAG meeting within 2 weeks, where specifically agendized for an executive session to discuss the I would say his performance review, but they changed the language of it. Now it's really discuss his performance overall to include, they were very, the mayor and got seconded by Supervisor Hines were very descriptive about what is up for considerations. And they basically put a lot of the dirty laundry went on the table and showed that that's a problem. I did vote in favor of having that meeting because I said, we need to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. We need to move behind. We've got to get ourselves to a position mm-hmm. where we are back to being in agreement mm-hmm. of moving RTA Next forward.
So the director may be let go, in effect.
I don't know what will come mm-hmm. out of that, but okay. the motion, the biggest change that I think you'll see when it comes out, the motion included everything from
termination.
They put everything you could think of on the motion mm-hmm. that to allow for that meeting to take any action. Mm-hmm. Now, are the votes there? I have no idea. I don't mm-hmm. know what the arguments or the discussions, but the fact of the matter is right now when we need to be focusing on getting RTA Next, and we need to focus then on finishing RTA 1. And we spent as much time at that meeting discussing the executive director, and it puts him in a tough position. It puts the board in a tough position. So we have to have that conversation. And I hope that it comes together and we get to go behind closed doors and have the conversation about how things are going and more importantly, how we're going to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Let's pick up this conversation because still there's so many questions that I have. And we've got many areas still to cover that you keep an eye on, including the legislature. I still don't see a budget program or a money program is still not on the table up there, is it?
No, the budget is not on. Yesterday, they actually did finally pass a bipartisan bill for the division to cover the shortfall in Division of Developmental Disabilities. And that's a big step because the governor's involved and we may see legislation start moving again.
All right, we've got more with General Ted Maxwell. It's the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. Quick plug for the Friday Focus interview, Laura Conover, Pima County attorney, will join me. My media co-host, Caitlin Schmidt, formerly of the Star and now with Tucson Spotlight. That's tomorrow.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studios. Jan and Jack are the owners over there. They're so hands-on. Jan takes these buying trips to Mexico, and when she comes back, there are all sorts of goodies. It's not just Mexico. They source pottery from all over the world. It's amazing. But when she comes back from the buying trips, the stuff goes to Zocalo Village, that part of the business over there at Green Things. And so they've got three buildings there that need to be torn down. They're in the floodplain. So it's a tear-down sale. It continues, selected items up to 50% off at Zocalo Village, part of Green Things, 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com, and then zocalovillage.com, family-owned and operated since 1970. Boy, if you haven't been by there, it's almost like a destination in itself, 13 acres. I don't know how they could get one more plant on that acreage. I mean, there are so many wonderful plants available. And here's the good news. If you have a question, and who doesn't? I like to do gardening myself. When you ask one of their salespeople, one of the associates, where is the roses that blah, blah, blah? Well, they won't just say, oh, go down that path. They will walk you over to the particular area that you are interested in. So, you know, great salespeople. GreenThingsAZ.com. And when we do our telephone interviews, and we are not doing any interviews over the phone today, but we are taking calls as usual, 790-2040. The live line is presented by Sean and the team over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. General Ted Maxwell is my guest for the full hour today. The General is the host of The Morning Voice each Tuesday morning, 7 to 9. That show is going very well. He leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, where he's the president, CEO, retired two-star general from the Air Force, and he is the Pima County representative on the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. That's a 7-member board. And then by the nature of that appointment, he represents ADOT, the transportation board, on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. In other words, he's really busy. But for me and for our listeners, he has a wealth of information about what's going on. So let's wrap up our RTA conversation about RTA Next, and you shared with us in the first half hour to summarize, because this is, as you know, General, what I like about the drive time, noon hour drive time. People are in and out of the car. You know about lunch and meetings, right? Yeah, you're in and out of the car, and people are doing activities. They're going to their yoga or Pilates or whatever they, you know, recreational activities or business meetings. So for folks that didn't hear, you're saying the 20-year RTA program, which expires sunsets of May of next year, 2026.
Yeah, end of June of 2026.
So the election most likely will be a special election in March of next year.
Yeah, if we can get it to the voters by March of next year, which means we have to have a plan by September of this year, mm-hmm. because it's required as a special election to be announced 6 months in advance, we will not, it will truly be a continuation, because the tax, when the old tax would terminate and the new tax would start on the same day. So from a sales tax perspective and from what our citizens would see and our the voters, nothing would change on their tax rate with with that vote. I think it's really important to summarize. Yes, it was a very difficult meeting. There was a lot of
contentious.
Contentious is a nice word, Bill. Mm-hmm. Thanks for using that mm-hmm. word. I've heard several other words used in the last couple of days, but I really believe, and I do, I mean this. I believe all the mayors understand mm-hmm. the importance and want to get to an RTA next
of moving it forward.
We have to get to an RTA next because of both the regional approach to transportation and infrastructure and the funding. You just can't match it. And what I point out all the time as a state rep, the priority it gets you in the state's five-year plan. You need it. We need this. Mm-hmm. I do believe they're all still there. Now, mm-hmm. they've all got different ideas what it should look like. We haven't finalized the plan. They're all working in the interest of their people and their citizens. But I think they all understand we need to get there. They all, mm-hmm. where the mayors are all in agreement is they want the solution for RTA 1 before they go back out to the voters for a continuation mm-hmm. of a half cent or a new half cent, however you want to view it for that mm-hmm. half percent. So they are all in there. I'm probably the one saying, I understand we need some finality on it, but we mm-hmm. don't need to. What happened on Monday and what's, you know, the discussion that's going to occur in the next one is right now, to me, a distraction. We need to have the conversation. Then once we walk out of that room, no matter what decision's made, if there's any changes, if there's not, we've got to be back on board of getting this over. And mm-hmm. one thing I know about the executive director, he does everything by his book, mm-hmm. by the rules. He's kept us out of trouble. He runs a good, he mm-hmm. does run a good program mm-hmm. and he's doing what he truly feels is best.
Sure.
It's obviously not necessarily got the collaboration of mm-hmm. all the members of the board looking right. forward. And so we've got to have the discussion.
We'll see what happens to Farhad, who has been the director for pretty much since this started.
He came on, I believe, and it was before my time, even yeah. at SALC. I believe he came on in 2013.
Okay.
So he's been there about 12,
a little
over
12 years.
Let's wrap
up in segment three, any other transportation business. And there is some very important transportation state business that our listeners need to know about.
Absolutely. We've all seen, it's really funny, we put out a five-year plan every year. It's a rolling plan. It changes and we can move things around in it. And it's funny, so one of the feedback we've been getting is a lot of people have been complaining as part of the next five-year plan about all the traffic and work on I-10. Mm. I actually look at that as an okay thing, because you know what mm. that is? That's showing that we are spending and investing money in expanding I-10 right through the heart of Tucson mm. from Ina down to almost the I-19 curve. Mm. But we've got a couple big projects coming up in the next year.
Real big.
One of them is one that has gotten a lot of interest, and that's the Irvington traffic interchange. So basically the way you get on and off the freeway at Irvington is going to change. It was supposed to start, and we were hoping it would have started earlier this year, and then it'd be done in the middle of next year. So it's going to take about a year and 18 months to get it done, because we didn't want to disrupt two Christmas seasons for that shopping area down there, right off Irvington on the west side of I-19, huge shopping facility used by so many people throughout the city, not just on the southwest side, but it's a critical, important structure there. It's been delayed a little bit, but the latest understanding is it will begin before the end of this year, and it will get done before the end of before next holiday season, okay. 2026.
What's the other big project?
This is the biggie. This was huge. Matter of fact, when we voted to approve it, Richard Cyril, the representative from the Cochise County, said, "I've never seen we've never approved a budget for a project this big."
Really?
And it's because we're expanding. If you travel on I-10 eastbound, it necks down from three lanes to two.
Yes.
In a quick fashion,
very
right
quick.
At Keno.
Yeah. Is that
right
going to change?
Parkway. It is.
Wow.
So what that's going to do is that's going to open. It's going to work on a couple other traffic interchanges farther down the road. But I believe it's going to then take it from about three lanes from there all the way out to about Country Club or beyond. Mm. Actually, I think it's a little beyond that, but I'll definitely have that answer for you on that one. But it's going to be a long project. Anytime you're riding a road from 2 to 3, they try to do most of it at night. They try to keep the lanes open. But as was evidenced by the people filing the complaints about the delays on I-10 because of the work being done, it's the only way you can fix it. And you know, once it's done, it will be great. But Richard Cyril, the member from Cochise County, he's been consistently supporting anything that expands I-10 east of Keno Parkway.
Because into his territory.
It's into his territory. And Benson is Beds? Booming.
Yeah.
It's booming. Hmm. Sierra Vista is booming. The east side is booming.
Yeah.
So this will not even get it as far as we really want it, mm-hmm. because it becomes dangerous. Anytime you're changing from 3 to 2 lanes, it becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
And it definitely slows down traffic.
How long will a project like this take?
This one, I believe, is going to take about 2 years to get it through completion.
And it's a big money project.
Oh, big. It was, like I said, I want to say it was in the range of $400 million.
And a quick note about ADOT announcing a wrong-way driver detection and warning system. This is an electronic system enhancement that's being put in.
Absolutely. And that's been in place in a lot of places or in a lot of sections of I-10 throughout Maricopa County. Mm-hmm. And I believe that announcement was it's going to be put in on I-19. They try to find areas where they've had incidents before, and a lot of times that's just because of how we get on and off the freeway at that point. Mm-hmm. So that's a good safety enhancement investment from ADOT.
Okay, so that kind of wraps up our transportation portion with General Maxwell, but one of the areas he keeps a very close watch on, what's going on up at the legislature in the Capitol? We will address that in segment 4 with General Ted Maxwell. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. Another quick plug tomorrow. It's Pima County Attorney Laura Conover will be our Friday focus interview. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Wow, that midday temperature looks really nice over in Silver City. You know, we send so many of our Buckmaster Show listeners to that great area of the Land of Enchantment, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Easy drive, about 3 hours, depending on where you are in the Tucson Valley. You hit I-10, take a left at the Lordsburg Interchange, which is the first major interchange heading east. into New Mexico, head up the hill, Silver City, 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. And I like that climate up there. It's really, who wouldn't? It's usually about 10 to 15 degrees cooler than Tucson. Their website, and I hope you'll visit before you make the trip, southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Doing the full hour today with General Ted Maxwell, and the reason we're doing it is because there's so much to cover. He heads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. He's the president and CEO. He's got a ton of military experience, retired as a two-star Air Force general, still an active pilot, not with the Air Force, but just flying recreationally. He's the representative in Pima County for the Arizona Department of Transportation, and he is also, because of that, on the board for the Regional Transportation Authority. And he's good talk show host. He's really been improving. He's host of The Morning Voice. He does 2 hours each Tuesday from 7 to 9. He gets good guests. And I'm actually have so much confidence in this gentleman that when I leave on vacation 2 weeks from today, but General, who's counting, right?
I know you are, Bill.
I'm taking a little extended vacation, have a pretty darn big trip planned, really excited about it. Anyway, on my roster of who to call, and we've got some great hosts, Dan Scheer, of course, Green Valley News, Dylan Smith is going to be involved, a lot of media people, but I've actually called on General Maxwell to do a show, and because I know he gets good guests, so you'll have fun. You'll do a great hour.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah. Bill, because it's this drive, like we've talked about, this drive time
noon slot
is incredibly important, and yeah. You've got people listening and in the cars, and so it's a great opportunity to have some good conversations.
Yeah, and my friend Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage, turning the show over to him to do a full hour of travel, and I'm actually going to take part in the show telephonically.
I can't wait for that.
I know.
That's going to be good.
Make the call. I'm not exactly saying where I'm going right yet, but I will tell you I will be just finishing breakfast or not going to breakfast yet by the time I call in.
So that means you won't have your
3 hour time difference.
You won't have your first umbrella drink yet in your hand, or maybe you might.
No, the Mai Tai, some do for breakfast, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right. We've talked a lot about transportation. How's your membership feeling about all the uncertainty in D.C.? And I know this comes up.
Business doesn't like uncertainty.
No.
I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. The stock market doesn't like uncertainty.
No.
We would much rather see certainty in it. SLC as a whole, we're not fans of tariffs. We believe that tariffs ultimately get passed on to the consumer. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need to address our trade deficit, but using it through tariffs has obviously spiked sent shockwaves through the economy so far. Mm-hmm. It sent shockwaves through the stock market.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Just check your 401k these days.
So address the trade deficit issues and do it in an appropriate manner. We just like to see a little bit more assurity and not see what's changing day to day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I said earlier in the conversation, elections have ramifications. And President Trump is doing kind of what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, yeah. So Mexico, what are you hearing about, like produce and things like that?
So I know there's still a lot
car
of
car parts.
There's still a lot of investment going on to the port, into the ports. Both the port of Douglas. There's going to be a two port solution down there. The Mariposa port of entry down in Nogales is getting additional funding too. Everything's being put in place to foster that trade.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing is we're trying to, and you've seen car parts is a great example, Bill. That one was the tariffs that the car dealers are going, oh, this is going to be rough because it goes cars. People don't realize cars go back and forth across the border multiple times.
I know.
And if you're paying tariffs on everything you're coming in every time, it could be dramatic costs increase. But since then, the administration's kind of said, okay, we're going to hold off on the tariffs on the car parts mm-hmm. for American produced car vehicles.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's still so much going on.
And Mexico's had quite a few exemptions because apparently the United States government is honoring It's the North American Free Trade Agreement 2.0, if you will.
Yeah. USMCA.
There you go.
Yeah, USMCA. And I think, you know, from the business perspective, the best thing we could have between Mexico, Canada, and the United States would be a trade-free zone, no tariffs.
Right.
Just make it all equal. But the challenge in a economy, it's unrealistic to think that the economy doesn't have different players all over the world, because know the Chinese have a lot of investment in Mexico, Canada, and rightfully in the U.S., especially when it comes to our treasuries.
Real estate, too. So. All right. What should our listeners know, and you keep track of this, about the legislature? I keep hearing that this may be one of those sessions, and I've been in Arizona now in the media almost 40 years. I can remember where they stopped the clock on July 30th because they don't have a budget. I wonder if we're going in that direction.
Bill, I think we'll get there. I think we'll get a budget. The biggest thing was, one of the things that came up, there's two things that are impacting the budget conversation now. One of them was the shortfall of the Division of Developmental Disabilities. It had a huge expansion on the number of funds back in COVID, because all of a sudden we were in a situation where kids and family members with disabilities could not go to those folks who were providing the services they need.
Right.
You had to do them in-house. So that expanded the number of parents who were qualified and certified as caretakers to include with the funding, which would mean they wouldn't have to work and therefore they could provide all those services. But just yesterday, the House passed a bill. And the reason this is important is the governor had put out a statement with her veto stamp in hand that I'm vetoing any bill that comes up here until we get a bipartisan approach to solving the deficit for this division. It's important. It's important to the families. It's important to the state. And just yesterday, the House passed a bill which had bipartisan support and governor blessing through the House. Mm-hmm. It's going to the Senate today. I was trying to see if it has been heard yet. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to probably happen after lunch. Mm-hmm. And if that passes, that solves that problem. So guess what? That means the veto's off.
Okay.
And that means game back on all the other legislation to include the budget. Mm-hmm. Legislators lose funding after they hit the 100th day, you know, as far as what they're compensated for, which has already occurred.
Yeah.
So they are now under a different funding mechanism for how much they get paid.
Their per diem decreases.
Correct.
Yes.
And that's always incentive.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be incentive.
It has to be, because it's costing a little bit more.
And they do not want to be, especially as many of those members in the legislature have talked about future plans of running for office, either statewide or Congress. They've made those announcements. They don't want to be known as the ones that shut down Arizona. So I think they will get there.
Will you be taking any kind of stand with the special election, or are you guys pretty much just back off on that as far as Southern Arizona Leadership Council?
On as far as the RTA?
Endorsing the special congressional election.
SALC does not endorse candidates.
Okay, it's important to point that out.
SALC members do. So you'll be able to see, I would bet a lot of the candidates down in CD7 will be getting campaign contributions. Mm-hmm. And I'd ask if anybody's unaware of Bill SB 1257. It's one that the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, Pima County, and SALC worked on together, which could set Pima County up as a test basis for some opportunities to help address the impact of fentanyl on many individuals in this community, as well as many who are currently homeless in this community. Kevin Daly, Michael Rossi, Sylvia Lee, there's so many people that are doing an outstanding job. Nicole Barraza, my director of governance, have all testified and have really worked with both sides of the aisle to get this bill to a position that it may become a reality. And it will have a sunset in 3 years. And if it works, we will have set the model for this region on how to deal with fentanyl addiction.
Nicole's doing a nice job for you there.
Nicole's amazing. You know, when I brought her on and hired her earlier, she was talking about wanting to get in politics. I told her I had a different idea for her right now. But she's now sits on the Pima County College Board of Governors.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And that's an office she had to run for. And she does a phenomenal job of staying up to date on what's going on in the legislature.
All right.
So shout out to her.
General Ted Maxwell, we will listen for your report on your show coming up on Tuesday. Probably don't have a guest yet, do you? booked
somebody? I actually am having Dana Cooper with the Gospel Rescue Mission to come talk to me about the Center of Opportunity.
All right. Thank you, General. On behalf of the General, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.